The special favor of Allah, Holy Allah. The universe is the body and its soul, Holy Allah.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyid al-Musaleen. Amma ba'd, a'udhu billahi min shaitan ar-rajim, bismillahir rahman ar-rahim. As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah wa ala alika wa sahabika ya Habiballah. As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Nabiyallah wa ala alika wa sahabika ya Nurallah. MashaAllah, viewers of Mother Child, welcome to our program Yesterday, Today and Tomorrow. And in this series of programs, we look to our rich heritage. Yes, Muslims have a very, very rich heritage. We're very, very fortunate. And the problem, one of the problems is we don't even realize we've got a rich heritage. And that's why we got this program. We look to our rich heritage. We look to our past. We look to our pious predecessors of our past and try and learn a lesson from their lives. Learn something from yesterday so that we can make a change today, so that we can have a better tomorrow. As with ever, we give you a blessing of reciting Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said, decorate your gatherings. Decorate your gatherings. How? By sending salat upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And then the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam goes on to say that because your recitation of salat upon me will be noor for you on the day of judgment. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. So viewers of Mother Channel, as we've said many, many times before, please make a habit of reciting Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during the day, whenever you have time, or even when you haven't got time. Try and multitask and do multiple things. You know, when you're traveling, when you're waiting, when you're doing all these things, and try and send Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As Muslims, unfortunately, what we do is we try and delay good deeds. We try and delay the fact that we're going to start reading our salah. We're going to delay the fact that we're going to start, you know, getting up for tahajjud. We're going to delay the fact that we're going to read the Quran. Delay the fact that, you know, we'll start sending salawat upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And today, on social media, at Dawat Islami, they did a post, an English post on Dawat Islami. And it was a picture of a phone. And on this phone, someone was giving Niki Kidawat to someone. And it said that, you know, shall we go and read our salah? And the person underneath it wrote that, you know, I'll start reading my salah from tomorrow. And the caption underneath is that the graveyard is full of people that wanted to start reading the salah tomorrow. And I thought that was quite a deep message there for all of us. That if you are going to perform any good deed, then don't leave it till tomorrow. Perform it today. And today make the intention during this program, after this program, before you go to sleep, and make this a routine from now, not on Jummah. Not in Ramadan, not when you get your daughter married, not when this happens, when that happens, now. Now is the time to make a change in your life. So let's start the program. Today, inshallah, we're going to talk about the family of Ghawse Pak, Sayyidina Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullah. And from this, you will learn that, you know, the status of this child that we all remember today, Ghawse Pak, we remember him, we revere him, we respect him. But in looking at his family, it'll give you a glimpse of how he became who he became. It is stated that Ghawse Pak Rahmatullah Ta'ala was born in a magnificent family. The family of Ghawse Pak, they were famous for piety and asceticism. The blessed name of Ghawse Pak's mother was Fatima bint Sheikh Abdullah Sawma'i, and her kunyat was Ummul Khair. The blessed name of Ghawse Pak's father is Sayyid Musa, and his kunyat is Abu Salih. Whereas his title is Jangi Dost. Ghawse Pak Rahmatullah is Hassani from his father's side, and Hussaini Sayyidi from his respected mother's side. Sayyidina Abu Saleh Musa Jangi Dost, the respected father of Ghawse Pak, was one of the most renowned saints of his time. With regard to the piety of Ghawse Pak's parents, there's a famous incident that took place. And I want you to try and listen to this. It's a little bit lengthy, but I think from this, inshallah, you get an understanding of the status and the maqam and the piety of Ghawse Pak. It has been narrated, viewers of the channel, that Sayyidina Abu Saleh Musa Jangi Dost Rahmatullah was sitting on the riverbank. Meanwhile, an apple came floating past. And he picked up the apple and he ate it. He ate the apple. After eating the apple, a thought came to his mind. The fear of Allah came inside to him. And he started to make his own accountability with regards to this. He said, I don't know whose apple this is. Can the way I have eaten an unknown apple be halal for me? Maybe I've eaten an apple that obviously definitely doesn't belong to me.
I ate this apple without the permission of the owner. And as the thought entered his mind, he started walking along the riverbank because he wanted to go and find the owner of this apple and then seek forgiveness for eating this apple without his permission. Before we continue here, how many of us would have that kind of mindset? How many of us, if we saw something floating along, we picked it up and then we thought, hold on a minute, is this jais for me? Is this halal for me to eat this? I don't know. But anyway, Abu Saleh, Musa Jangi Dost, Rahmatullah Ta'ala, he had this fear inside him that, will I be held accountable for this? Will I be questioned for this? Is this halal for me? Allahu Akbar. And so he sought forgiveness. And after traveling a long distance, Sayyidina Abu Saleh, Musa Jangi Dost, Rahmatullah Ta'ala, saw a very grand building near the river, which had a very huge apple tree with ripe apples hanging over them. So he thought to himself that these were the branches, they're full of apples, spread over the water, and he felt sure that the apple he ate was from this tree. Therefore, the respected father of Ghawse Park asked people about the owner of the tree. And when he asked about the owner of the tree, he was told that the owner of the orchard was somebody called Sayyidina Abdullah Sawmai. It was also a renowned pious person of that time. Now remember, before we continue, that Sayyidina Abdullah Sawmai was one of the renowned pious men of Blessed Jilan. He was a very ascetic and a saint of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allama Sheikh Abu Muhammad Ad-Darbani stated, the du'as of Sayyidina Abdullah Sawmai were answered very quickly. His status and rank was so high in the divine court that if he got angry with someone due to any sharia reason, Allah Azza wa Jal would punish him. And if he would be pleased with someone, Allah Azza wa Jal would bless him with favors and honors. Sayyidina Abdullah Sawmai rahmatullah was more enthusiastic than the young people. Despite being physically weak, he would offer nafas salah a lot and he would remain busy doing zikr and askar. By the bestowal of Allah Azza wa Jal and by the wasila of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidina Abdullah Sawmai was also given this miracle where he was able to predict what was going to happen in the future. And undoubtedly this was a splendid saintly miracle. Now getting back to the story that we mentioned early on. Sayyidina Abu Saleh, Musa Jangi Dost, rahmatullah ta'ala, he found that the owner was none other than Sayyidina Abdullah Sawmai. And he went to him without any delay and he mentioned the whole matter to him. Now after mentioning the whole matter to him, he also apologized to him. Now, since Sayyidina Abdullah Sawmai was a great saint, he realized that this person had come up all the way up the riverbank to find out who the owner of this tree was, that he also must be one of the beloved servants of Allah Azza wa Jalla. That piety must be there. Otherwise, why would he have come to this? Why would he have made this struggle? So what happened was, Musa Jangi Dost, Sayyidina Abdullah Sawmai, the owner of the orchard, said to him, if you serve me for 12 years, you'll be then forgiven. What is amazing here is the respected father of Ghawse Park, Abu Saleh, he accepted this condition. He accepted this condition happily. And this is the amazing thing. No matter how many times you hear about this story, you read this story, this is the amazing thing. A condition was placed upon him that you will now serve me for 12 years. And he said, okay. Even though, as per Sharia, it's not compulsory for him to get this mistake forgiven like this. However, Sayyidina Abu Saleh, rahmatullah, served Sayyidina Abdullah Sawmai for 12 years. For 12 years, saying that is easy. Can you remember where you were 12 years ago? Can you remember what has happened in the last 12 years of your life? 12 years of his life he served him. When 12 years had passed, he was now about to face another test. His ordeal was not over. Another test was waiting, and perhaps this test was even stranger than the first one. Sayyidina Abdullah Sawmai, rahmatullah, said to him, he said to Sayyidina Abu Saleh, there is another service that I want you to fulfill. He said, I have a daughter. I have a daughter, but there's four problems. Number one, she's blind. Number two, she's deaf. Number three, her hands do not work. And number four, she is lame. You have to marry her and will have to serve me for 2 more years. After then, you can go wherever you want. So now the condition, even though the first condition of 12 years was not sharia upon him, was not compulsory upon him, he accepted it. He could have turned around to him and said, hold on a minute, you said 12 years. I've done them 12 years now. Now you put another condition on me. And this condition, what was this condition? You must marry my daughter. Okay. But my daughter, she's blind. My daughter, she is deaf. My daughter, her hands don't work. My daughter is lame. She cannot walk. And stay here and serve me for a further 2 years. After that, you can do what you want. Now, Sayyidina Abu Saleh, Musa Jangi Dost, Rahmatullah Ta'ala, he was aware of the Islamic teachers and he had this fear of Allah Azza wa Jal inside him. You know, just remember, we're going back now. What had he done? What had he done? He'd ate an apple that was going down the stream. He had the fear in Allah inside him, thinking to himself that, you know, I have done this without the permission of the owner. Will I be questioned on the Day of Judgment? Is this halal for me? And he went upstream and these conditions were placed on him. So he accepted this condition. And Sayyidina Abdullah Somai, Rahmatullah, they performed the nikah of his daughter. And when Sayyidina Abu Saleh went to his wife, the first, because he'd not seen his wife, he was faced with a dilemma. Because what he was told and what he saw in front of him were completely different. He saw completely contrary to what he was told. All her body parts were okay. She could see, she could hear, and she was beautiful as well. And so what happened was, Sayyidina Abu Saleh, Rahmatullah, thought to himself that this can't be my wife, I've come into the wrong room. So he went back. He went back and he was told that do not need to worry. You no reason to worry, she is your wife. She is your wife, you've got no need to worry. And he said to him, he said to the father of Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani, Rahmatullah Ta'ala, listen, my daughter possesses all the things which I told you in relation to her. She is blind. Meaning, she's never seen and not met him. She is deaf, meaning that she has never listened to any untrue things. Her hands do not work, meaning that she has never touched not met him. When Sayyidina Abu Saleh, Rahmatullah, heard these convincing and credible words for his new bride, his wife's importance became prominent in his heart. And by the grace and favors of Allah Azza wa Jal, Sayyidina Abu Saleh, Rahmatullah Ta'ala, was privileged to become the husband of the blessed daughter of a great and pious saint of his time. The blessed daughter was not only beautiful, but she also was a very, very pious person. Allahu Akbar. You may have heard this story many, many times. There's so much that we can learn from this particular event, but what we're going to do now is we're going to take a small break. We're going to go to a package, the first package of the day. And then inshallah, when we come back, we're going to discuss this event that took place. Let's go to the first package of the day. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The awliya Allah are a great gift for the ummah. They are shining examples of piety, good conduct, and nobility. Subhanallah, when we study the lives of the awliya Allah, like Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani radiyallahu an, Khwaja Ghareeb Nawaz rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmed Raza Khan Ali Rahma. Subhanallah, we find so many lessons, so many pearls of wisdom can be extracted from their lives. And one thing that the awliya Allah are known for, and you will find this in all of the saints of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that they were consistent in worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was a great part of their piety, their taqwa, that they always performed ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with sincerity. For example, Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani radiallahu ta'ala was a devout worshipper. So much so that it's said regarding him, it's written and recording regarding him in his biography, that for 15 years straight, 15 years, it's not a small amount of time, 15 years straight, Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani radiallahu ta'ala, he recited the Quran completely every single night. Now just imagine, just reflect upon that. We probably recite the Quran once a year in Ramadan Kareem, or at most maybe two or three times, every single night for 15 years straight. Ghusl Azam Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani radiallahu an recited the complete Quran. Now this was his attachment to the Quran. This was his love for the Quran. This was his ibadah. This was his steadfastness upon good deeds, subhanallah. And we pray that for the sake of the awliya Allah, the saints of Allah Jalla wa'ala, that we are granted a portion of the same as well. Because if we receive that same ability, subhanallah, and we recite the Quran as well profusely, then no doubt we will gain great blessings in the dunya and more importantly in the akhirah.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Viewers of the channel, you're watching yesterday, today and tomorrow. In today's program, we're talking about the family.
the family of Ghawseh Pak, Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani. Before the break, we mentioned the fact that the incident that took place where the father of Ghawseh Pak, an apple was going down the river. He saw it, he picked it up and he ate the apple. But then after he'd ate the apple, the fear of Allah came into his heart and he thought to himself, whose is this apple? He looked for the owner of the apple, he found the owner of the apple, and the owner of the apple said to him that, I will only forgive you if you serve me for 12 years. He served him for 12 years. After 12 years, the owner of the orchard, who was also a very pious person, he put another condition on top of him. That served me for another 2 years, but also marry my daughter. And my daughter has 4 defects. She's blind. She's deaf. Her hands don't work and her feet don't work. And he agreed because he had this fear of Allah in his heart. And then he found out that she wasn't. She was perfect, she was beautiful, and she was pious. And the father explained that, look, she's blind because she has never looked at a non-mahram. She is deaf because she's never listened to anything untrue. Her hands don't work because she's never touched a non-mahram. Her feet don't work because she's never gone towards sin. And he realized that he'd married a pious person of the time. Now, this is the event, and you've probably heard it many, many times. But what do we learn from this? And as I've said to you many times before on this program, that when anything comes down through our history, through the books of knowledge, and they've come down through generation to generation to generation, there's a reason. There's a reason that these stories are brought to us. Not so that it's a good story, oh, that's an interesting story, I like that story, that's very good. No, it's so that we can learn something from it. Number one, the people of the past, the pious people, they are very careful about the rights of individuals. Something that in today's society we're not. We don't care if we've upset someone's rights. We don't care if we've fiddled someone. We don't care if we've stolen for someone. We don't care if we've taken for someone. We've got this mentality now that I'm all right, Jack. As long as I'm okay, it doesn't matter. As long as I got what I need, I don't care about anybody else. Where did you see the pious of the people of the past? They had this fear of Allah in their hearts. That I've done this. Now, if he had not gone over up the riverbank, if he had not approached the owner, would the owner have known that an apple fell off my tree, it went down the river and somebody ate it? No, he would not have known. Because if he himself felt the apple was so valuable, then he would have had somebody monitoring the tree all the time, and as soon as an apple fell off it, he would have gone and retrieved it. So for the owner of the orchard, it had no value in that sense, if you look at it. But for the person who ate the apple, the father of Ghawseh Pak, for him, the fact that he'd ate the apple, he thought to himself that, did I have permission? Is this halal for me? Will I be questioned about this? And this makes us think that where do we stand? Yet maybe we can say that's an extreme example. Yes, we can say it's an extreme example, but even in normal examples of today, what would we have done? Do we make sure that we fulfill the rights of each other's? Or do we unfortunately abuse each other's rights? And unfortunately today we are abusing each other's rights. We'll steal off our brother, we'll steal off our sister. Steal, yes, we'll steal off them. We'll steal a small portion of land on them. When it comes to inheritance, we won't give our sisters, our daughters their due. We'll give it to the sons and we'll steal it from them. That's stealing. This is usurping the rights of individuals. And as we said on this program, many other programs before, do we even know what my responsibility is, what my rights are? What my responsibilities are to others? Forget what their rights are, the rights that I have upon me, but what are my responsibilities? And so today we find it very, very easy to take from someone, to fiddle someone, to get away with it. Because we think we're clever, we think we're hard, we think we're tough. We know that we can get away, we've got them contacts, we know how to deal with these people. Yes, you can deal with them people in this dunya. Yes, you can make a fool of me in this dunya. Yes, you can get away with it. Yes, you are clever in this dunya. Yes, in this dunya, you have all those contacts that will make sure that you'll never get caught. But you will get caught. You will get caught. And on that day, no matter how clever you are, no matter how many contacts you have, on that day, you will be held accountable for every single thing that you have done. Sayyidi Al-Hazrat, he said that on the day of judgment, the person who does not pay back even 3 paisas to someone in the world, on the day of judgment, will have to give 700 salahs, which he would have offered with Jamaat in compensation for that. 700 salahs. 700 salahs. 5 salahs a day. What's that? 140. 4 and a half, literally 5 months. 5 months of salah with Jamaat. Because you have not paid back 3 paisa. 3 paisa is 3 paisa is 300th of a rupee. And 1 rupee,
in current times, 250 rupees to the pound. So divide the pound by 250, then divide that by 100 and you will get 1 paisa. 3 paisa, that small insignificant amount, you could say in UK terms 1 pence, that if you do not pay back someone 1 pence on the day of judgment, you will have to give in return for that 700 salah with Jamaat to compensate for that. Nowadays what happens is we borrow money off people. We'll borrow £1,000 of someone for argument's sake. We'll give them £100, £50, £30, £100, £200. Okay, fair enough. And we'll keep a tab of how much has been paid. But when it gets to about £980, £990, we don't pay the last £9. We don't pay the last £10, £20. And we think to ourselves, they're not going to come and ask for it, are they? Yeah? So, forget it. And we don't pay them that £10, £20. And usually the person feels embarrassed that, you know, they paid me back £990. How can I possibly go and ask for that £10 now? Yeah? And so they're out of embarrassment, they don't ask for it. And you think, yeah, I got away with it. I've not had to pay them the £10. Look how clever I am. Yeah, you're clever. Okay. 700 salah. With Jamaat. Compensation for 1 pence. Ponder over this and think over this. That if I get away with it in this dunya, will I get away with it? And so many people try to be clever. They'll agree to buy something, oh, I'll buy this for £100, and then when they're counting out the money on purpose, they count it out to £95. Oh, it's okay, isn't it? No, you agreed on £100, why are you doing this? Oh, so you're gonna break a deal over £5, are you? Yeah, but we agreed on £100, why are you not paying £100? Oh, what a kind of a... And they try and make you feel guilty, that you're a stingy person, that you can't leave £5, you can't do this. You agreed on that. And so you try to overpower them by making them feel low, by making them feel embarrassed. Also, you're going to fight over £5. Our friendship is going to finish over £5 now because you need to. You agreed that. You agreed that. And so this happens in society where we think we are clever and we observe the rights of other people. We don't think twice about it. We see people's pens lying there. We pick it up and put it in our pocket. It's my pen now, isn't it? You know, there's a saying in English: finders, keepers, losers, weepers. Meaning that if I fund something, it's mine. It's not. It's not yours. Just because you find it, you don't become, you know, you're the finder, it doesn't make you the keeper. And the person who loses it, yes, he may weep, but he's still the owner of it. So this logic of finders, keepers, losers, weepers doesn't work in Islam. Yes, you can find it, but put it back there in the hope that the owner will come. And if you find it and you know who the owner is, then make sure you turn it to the owner. Rather than finding it, putting it in pocket and thinking, nobody's seen this. This is not the way. You think you're clever, you get away with it, but you're not going to get away with it. So that's the first thing that we learn. That this fear of Allah, the fear of accountability, the knowledge that Allah Azza wa Jalla is watching us, to make our mindset that we shouldn't observe the rights of others, is the first lesson that we learn here today. The second lesson that we learn from this beautiful event that took place is how pious the women of the past were. Allahu Akbar. That they had a great passion for observing the parda, the shari parda from non-married women. And we've heard about the respected mother of Ghawse Pak, and for this reason, blessed saints used to be born in their generations. Allah Azza wa Jalla has commanded women to stay at the homes and has permitted them to go at the homes without any shari reason. In Surah Al-Azhar, part 22, verse 33, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, addressing the sisters, and stay in your homes and do not remain unveiled like the former unveiling in the times of ignorance. In Tafsir Siratul Jinan, volume 8, regarding this blessed verse, it has been written, do not be without parda in a way as the women in the era of ignorance used to be to live without parda. Scholars have different sayings about this, the former and the later era of ignorance. One of these sayings is that former era of ignorance refers to the time that was before Islam. It was at this time that women used to come out in a foolish manner, and they used to show the beauty and virtue so that non-married women could see them. They used to wear such dresses which did not cover their body parts properly. The later era of ignorance refers to the last era in which the deeds of the people will become like the former ones. So, our sisters, you have these role models. You have great role models of the past. The mother of Ghawse Pak. And you know, when we get during the month and we talk about the upbringing, the tarbiyat that Ghawse Pak's mother gave to Ghawse Pak, you'll see the importance of her. Then we have the role models of the mothers of the believers. Then we have the role models of the daughters of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then we have other pious female saints of the past and their lives. These are your role models. So I request our sisters to find out about their lives, to read about their lives, to be inspired by their lives, to try and follow in the footsteps of them, to become pious like them. Read about their lives. Read about their sacrifices. Read about their bravery. Read about their knowledge. Read about their intellect. Read about their taqwa. Read about their piety. Read about how they lived their lives. The fear of Allah that they had. Read about this. The third thing that we'll learn from this particular event is that if parents are Allah-fearing people, if people, the parents are religious, they perform acts of worship, if they live their lives to the best of their ability, to follow the commands of Allah Azza wa Jal, to live their lives according to the Sunnah of the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then inshaAllah Azza wa Jal, the offspring, it will impact on their offspring as well. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala has narrated, undoubtedly, due to the good deeds of a human, Allah Azza wa Jal reforms his children, his children's children, and their children. He protects his generation and protects him amongst his neighbors, and all of them remain safe by the grace of Allah Azza wa Jal. So if you are pious, if you try to live your life as a God-fearing person, if you try to live your life as a person who tries to live his life according to what Allah Azza wa Jal wants you to do, if you try to stay away from those things that are forbidden from Allah, the things that are disliked by Allah, and act upon those things that Allah Azza wa Jal enjoins you to do, then inshaAllah Azza wa Jal, you'll see inshaAllah that your children inshaAllah will always follow on that footpath. You know, they say that if you know you plant an apple seed, what are you going to get? An apple tree. You're not going to get bananas. You're not going to get coconuts. You're not going to get oranges. You're going to get apples. So what the generation before will follow the generation later. The generation later will follow in their footsteps. But unfortunately, what we see now is we see that our youngsters of today that have newly married, that become or potentially are becoming parents, they themselves, what are they doing? They're not reading the Salah. They're not fasting during the month of Ramadan. Zakat, what is Zakat? Forget it. Hajj, was Hajj for us? I don't know. They don't adopt the Shari rulings in their life. They lie, cheat, swear, backbite. They are not respectable to their parents. And then they wonder, "Ay, my children, what's happened to my children? Yeah, my children have become this, my children have become that. Where did I go wrong?" What do you mean, where did you go wrong? Can you not see where you went wrong? Is it hard to work out where you went wrong? That when your children were young, you didn't care about them, you didn't give them the upbringing, you didn't give them the tarbiyah that they need. From the age of 0 to 7, love your children, play with your children. From the age of 7 to 14, instruct your children. And from the age of 14 to 20, become close to your children, become the friends of your children. But you cannot become close to your children after the age of 14 if you didn't play with them or give them time or instruct them or give you training at this age. And we think, oh, well, he's only small now. We'll worry about it later, worry about it later, worry about it later. But the tarbiyat of the child is important from day one. And this is what we learn from this. Allah Azza wa Jal says, Allah Azza wa Jal says in Surah Tarheem, ayat number 6, O believers, save yourself and your family from the fire, the fuel of which are humans and stones. Allah Azza wa Jal is telling you, save yourselves and your family. Save yourselves and your family. It is your responsibility to save yourself and your family. In the tafsir Siratul Jinan, from this blessed verse it is stated, it has become obvious that where it is necessary for a Muslim to reform himself, it is also compulsory for him to provide Islamic education and give Islamic upbringing to his family Muslims. Therefore, every Muslim should educate his wife and his children and the family members who are under his supervision about Islamic commandments. Similarly, they should be given upbringing in the light of Islamic teachings so that they can also stay safe from the hellfire. This is our responsibility. And we learn it from the people of the past that they fulfilled these responsibilities. And when they fulfilled these responsibilities, when they were pious in their own lives, when they lived a life of fearing Allah Azza wa Jalla, when they lived a life of this taqwa that they had inside them, when they lived a life of piety, and both the mother and father lived like this, then they had children like Ghawsi Pak rahmatullah ta'ala. Then they had children who became the walis of their time, the saints of their time, people that we remember to this day. But we forget that behind every pious child, behind every God-fearing person, there'll be a God-fearing parent. A God-fearing parent will be behind that child. So it's our responsibility to be that God-fearing, pious parent, so that inshallah, we can pass that on to our children and they can benefit as well. Allahu Akbar. Viewers of my channel, we're going to take a small break now. I've not covered as much as I wanted to cover, unfortunately. So I'll see how much we can cover before the end of the program. We've got a Kalam of the day, inshallah. Let's go to the Kalam of the day, inshallah. And then when we come back, we're going to continue with the topic of the day. Sallu alal Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Ghawse Azam, Pire Pira, Mire Mira, Ghawse Azam, Ghawse Azam, Jilani, Pire Pira, Jilani, Mire Mira, Jilani, Ghawse Azam, Ghawse Azam, Mira, Ghawse Azam, Mira, Ghawse Azam, Mira. خدا کے فضل سے ہم پر ہے سایہ غوث اعظم کا خدا کے فضل سے ہم پر ہے سایہ غوث اعظم کا ہمیں دونوں جہاں میں گئے سہارا غوث اعظم کا میرا تخف کہہ کر تسلی دی غلاموں کو مریدی لا تخف کہہ کر تسلی دی غلاموں کو قیامت تک رہے بے خوف بندہ غوث اعظم کا میرا عزیزوں کر چکو تیار جب میرے جنازے کو عزیزوں کر چکو تیار جب میرے جنازے کو تو لکھ دینا کفن پر نام والا غوث اعظم کا میرا لحد میں جب فرشتے مجھ سے پوچھیں گے تو کہہ دوں گا لحد میں جب فرشتے مجھ سے پوچھیں گے تو کہہ دوں گا طریقہ قادری گنام لیوا غوث اعظم کا میرا کبھی قدموں پہ لوٹوں گا کبھی دامن پہ مچلوں گا کبھی قدموں پہ لوٹوں گا کبھی دامن پہ مچلوں گا بتا دوں گا کہ یوں چھٹتا گے بندہ غوث اعظم کا میرا
غوث اعظم
فرشتوں روکتے کیوں وہ مجھے جنت میں جانے سے فرشتوں روکتے کیوں وہ مجھے جنت میں جانے سے لو دیکھو ہاتھ میں دامن گئے کس کا غوث اعظم کا میرا غوث اعظم
جمیل قادری سو جا سگو قربان مرشد پر جمیل قادری سو جا سگو قربان مرشد پر بنایا جس نے تجھ جیسے کو بندہ غوث اعظم کا میرا غوث اعظم جیلانی
پیرے پیرا
جیلانی
میرے میرا
جیلانی
غوث اعظم
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. ماشاءاللہ viewers of Madri Channel, you're watching yesterday, today and tomorrow. We hear in many when we go to the masjid, when we go to the Jummah prayers, we hear the Imam Sahib talking. He mentions the name Ghawse Pak. He mentions these names. But who is this person? What do we know about this person? You know, we hear his name so much, but what do we know about it? And unfortunately, as Muslims, we don't. And this is something that we need to rectify within ourselves. We need to find out about the life of our great pious predecessors, the true role models that we have. And today we're talking about the family of Ghawse Pak. And before the break, we mentioned the event that took place with the parents of how the father, the compensation that he had to make when he found an apple and the marriage that took place. And then inshallah, the offspring being a pious child because of these pious parents. It is also narrated, viewers of the channel, that the father of Ghawse Pak, Sayyidina Abu Saleh Musa Jangi Dost, Rahmatullah, he was going towards the masjid one day and he saw that as servants of the king, they had big pots on the head. And he became aware that these pots had wine in them, alcohol in them. And so he had this passion of preventing evil, preventing sins being committed. And so Sayyidina Abu Saleh, Rahmatullah, he went forward and he broke the earthen pots. He broke the pots that had full of wine. Now the servants, when they saw the awe and the nobility of Sayyidina Abu Saleh, Rahmatullah, they didn't do anything. However, they went to the king. And when they went to the king and they told the events that took place, the king said to him, bring him to me. Bring Sayyidina Musa, Rahmatullah, to my court as soon as possible. So when Sayyidina Musa, Rahmatullah, was brought to the court, the king angrily asked him, who are you? Who are you to waste the hard works of my servants? Sayyidina Musa, Rahmatullah, he said to him, I am Mutasib, the judge who forbids from things which are contrary to Sharia. And I have carried out my duty. My duty is to prevent evil. The king said to him, by whose authority have you been appointed this position? Sayyidina Musa Rahmatullah said to him, by the order of the one that you are governing. This statement of this made the king so emotional that he sat putting his head on his knees. And then he raised his head after a while and humbly said, Your Highness, explain to me, what was the wisdom of breaking the earthen pots then? Sayyidina Abu Saleh, Musa, Jangi Dost, Rahmatullah Ta'ala replied to him. He replied, for being affectionate towards you and to save you from the disgrace of the world and the hereafter. I have done this because of that. The Khalifa was greatly moved by this wisdom-filled words. And after getting impressed by him, he requested him, Your Honor, you are appointed as a ruler who forbids things which are contrary to Sharia. This is now your job. And as a result of this, Sayyidina Musa,
Ramtul replied to him, when I am appointed by Allah Azawajal, then why should I need to be appointed by the creation? And from that day on, he became famously known as Jangi Dost. Again, what do we learn from this? What do we learn from this? That the father of Ghawse Pak, he saw people carrying alcohol, he broke the alcohol pots, the king called him, the king questioned him, and he explained to the reason why I did this, to save you from disgrace and save you from sin. So basically, he was inviting them to the path of righteousness and he was forbidding them from committing sins. This is what he was doing. And this is something, viewers and Munshan, that we learn from our pious people of the past, that is because of that, that the deen has got to us today. By enjoining good and forbidding evil. By calling people to the path of righteousness and trying to convince them to stay away from the path of sin. This is in essence how Islam has spread. And this is something that we need to be very aware of. And we need to make it part of our lives. That, you know, and this is the mission statement of Dawud, that I must strive to rectify myself. I must strive to rectify myself. And at the same time, I must strive to rectify the people of the whole world. And this second part of the mission, that I must strive to rectify the people of the whole world, the pious people of the past, every single one of them did this. Every single one of them did this to whatever their ability was. And now it is our responsibility. It is our responsibility to carry on the mission of our pious people. Not only to safeguard ourselves, but also to pass on this message to others as well. And I'll be honest with you, viewers of Munshad, that when I attached myself to the environment of Dawud Islami, I was uninterested in the first part. That I must strive to rectify myself. I did not join Dawud Islami with the intention that one day I'll be sitting here talking to you. At that time, there wasn't even a Madani channel. Madani channel was even thought about. So my intention in joining Dawud Islami was not to sit here and talk to you. My intention then and now is still to rectify myself. And inshallah, Azawajal, I will continue to try to rectify myself until the day I die. But at the same time, when you sit with a great wali of his time, when you hear the teachings of Amir al-Sunnah, the founder of Dawud Islami, may Allah Azawajal keep his shadow upon us. When you sit with him and listen to him, he puts this pain inside you. He puts this seed of pain inside you. That what about everybody else? What about everybody else? You've come and someone called you. Do you remember this? Do you remember that when you came into Dawud Islami, somebody called you? Somebody tried to help you. Now, who are you going to help? Who are you going to call? Who are you going to try and rectify? And so the second part of the mission statement then comes in. That now I must strive to rectify the people of the whole world. And this is what the pious people of the past did. They lived their whole lives in the teachings, in their books, in their writings, in whatever they did, the sacrifices that they made, in their actions, every single moment of their lives was promoting what is good and forbidding what is evil. Hajjatul Islam Muhammad Ghazali rahmatullah ta'ala was describing the grades of calling towards righteousness. He stated, number one, to tell right thing to an ignorant person. That if an ignorant person is not aware of something that is haram, then you should tell him that. Number two, to preach in a soft tone, i.e. say to a brother in a nice way, dear brother, backbiting is haram and an act leading to the hellfire. So why do you indulge in this? Please refrain from this. Please refrain from backbiting and make a mindset that neither will I backbite nor will I listen to it. The third grade of calling towards righteousness is that the one who has done something against the Sharia is rebuked and scolded. Rebuke here does not mean to use sentences consisting of immodest phrases, but teacher to his students, parent to the children, and spiritual leader to his disciples. In this way, O illiterate, O ignorant, O insensible, don't you fear Allah Azza wa Jalla or using similar words? So whatever your capacity is, if you are in a position to stop someone from committing sin, then you should do it. And we see in the life of the family, the father of Ghawse Pak, that he did this. He stopped this wine being going into the court of the king. He stopped the king from consuming this alcohol. He stopped all his servants and so that the king would not be disgraced. And so he did it for him. Allahu Akbar. Use some of the channel. We've got a small break. We've got the final package of the day. Let's go to the final package of the day, inshallah. When we come back, we'll try and cover as much as we possibly can. Let's go to the final package of the day. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
As muballighs in our life, somebody's encouraged us, taught us to do dars, encouraged us to do bayans and help with the work of the deen of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let me share with you something truly magnificent. Sayyidi Ghawsi Azam Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullah Alayhi says that I was sitting in a chair when I had the blessed vision of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And Aka Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Son, why don't you deliver bayan?" I humbly said, "Ki Ya Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I'm a non-Arab. How should I deliver a bayan in front of the well-spoken people of Baghdad?" Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Oh son, open your mouth." I opened my mouth, and the best of creation, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, took their blessed saliva mubarak and put it into my mouth 7 times, and then told me to deliver bayan before the people and call them with good logic and advice toward the path of their Rabb. I then offered Zohar Salah and sat there. Many people came to me and shouted at me. Thereafter, I was blessed with the vision of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the lion of Allah Azza wa Jal. And he said, "Son, why don't you deliver a bayan?" And I humbly said, "Oh my father, please, people shout at me." He said, "Open your mouth." I opened my mouth and he put his saliva into my mouth 6 times. I humbly said, "Why not 7? And he said, "Out of respect and adab of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." Then he disappeared from sight. After this, Sayyidi Ghawsi Azam radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that I delivered my first bayan in the month of Shawwal al-Mukarram during the grand ijtima, and it was full of splendor and awe. Saints and angels covered me, and I explained the glorious Quran and the Sunnah and called people to the path of Allah Azza wa Jal, and people hurried to obey. Subhanallah, subhanallah. What a great muballigh of the deen of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What a great scholar, what a great intellect, and what a great bali of Allah Azza wa Jal. Sayyidi Ghawsi Azam Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah alayhi.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. MashaAllah, viewers of Mother Chan, you're watching yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And today we're talking about the great personality, the great wali of his time, Ghawsi Pak, Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah ta'ala, his family. And we come to learn from this that when you have a pious background, then inshallah, it affects the children as well. You know, they say that horses, the thoroughbred horses, it affects the lineage of the horses as well. In the same way that a piety will, inshallah, pass on this piety to their children as well. And so far we've heard about the events that took place before the marriage of Ghawsi Pak's mother and father, that the sacrifices that the father made, and the fact that the mother was a very, very pious person as well. We've also heard the fact that the father, he invited people to the path of righteousness. And this is, again, a very important aspect of Islam, calling people to the path of righteousness. It's something that we should all take upon us to whatever extent that we can. And we also need to be careful with this, because we know that certain people will listen to us, certain people won't listen to us. But whatever our status is, whatever our authority is, if we are confident that the person will listen to us, then it's, you know, more important upon us now to instruct that person to refrain from that. And those people that are under effectively your responsibility, your family, your children, then it's your responsibility to instruct them to perform the salah. It's your responsibility to instruct them to stay away from sins. It's your responsibility to call them to the path of righteousness. It is your responsibility to do this. And where you feel that people will listen to you, then it is also your responsibility to talk to them people as well. And again, you know, I remember listening once, it's beautiful, that someone said to me that he applies the 3-foot rule. And I said to him, "What's the 3-foot rule? He said, "See my arm? My arm's approximately 3 foot long. And I said, "Okay." He said, "Whoever comes within this radius, whoever comes within this radius within me, I call him to the path of righteousness." Meaning that whoever he speaks to, whoever he talks to, whoever he gets the opportunity to talk to, he will talk to them and he'll call them to the path of righteousness. Call them to good deeds. Talk to them. Invite them. You know, invite them to the gatherings of Dawat Islami, invite them to the Ishtamaz, invite them to the Madri Kafalas, invite them to the Masjid to read the Salah, invite them to the Jummah prayers, invite them to spend the nights of the month of Ramadan in reading the Tarawih prayers, invite them to the Balighan classes where they can learn to read the Quran, invite them to this. And when you see them committing certain sins, then try, and in your capacity, whatever your capacity is, to try and get them to refrain from them things as well. But this is, you know, we need to develop this inside ourselves. But the thing is in the majority of our cases, we don't have that pain inside ourselves.
Let him do what he's doing. Let him do what he's doing. I don't care. It's not my responsibility, is it? You know, he's committing a sin. He's committing. Why should I worry about it? I've got enough problems of my own to be worried about what they're doing. I've got enough problems of my own to worry about what he's doing. Okay, we've all got problems. But how long does it take you the opportunity? You're talking to them anyway. You might be talking about football. You might be talking about cricket. You might be talking about politics. And at the same time, when the time for Salah comes, invite them to the masjid as well. When the month of Ramadan comes, before the month of Ramadan, encourage them. The month of Ramadan is coming. You know, we can do this, we can do this, we can read this, we can read that. Encourage them. Encourage them that, brother, you know, mashallah, you're doing really, really well, mashallah. You're very, very wealthy. Is Hajj farz upon you? Mashallah, you should perform the Hajj. You know what? It'd be brilliant if you went and did the Hajj. If you see them committing sins, if you see them committing backbiting, if you see them looking at films and dramas which they shouldn't be looking, then say to them, brother, you know, don't do this. This is a sin. This is haram. Why are you doing this? Have you got nothing else better to do? And encourage them. This is the ways that we should be applying. So these are the sort of things that we need to make part of our daily life. When we look at the pious people of the past, they did it all the time. Coming back to the family of Ghusay Park, the mother of Ghusay Park, Sayyida Ummul Khair Fatima, she was also a very, very pious person. And she had this amazing love for the Quran as well. She loved to read the Quran. And when Ghusay Park was a child, and he went to the madrasa to start to read the Quran, and a teacher said to him, read Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Yeah? And he replied, he started to read the Quran, and he not only read A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, but he read the first 18 juz of the Quran, the first 18 sapara of the Quran by heart. And his teacher was amazed that how is it possible that this young child that is only 4 to 5 years of age, 4.5 years of age, knows 18 juz of the Quran, and he just sat there listening. And when he had completed 18 juz of the Quran, and Ghusay Park stopped, and the teacher said, continue to read, what did the Ghusay Park said? These 18 juz of what I've learned from my mother. When I was in the womb of my mother recited these 18 juz, and whilst I was in the womb of my mother, I learned this. Now years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, we would have thought that's not possible, impossible. But nowadays, science has finally caught up. Yes, science has to catch up. Science has caught up, and science says that what the children hear in the womb affects the child. So whilst we have a child in the womb, what are we talking? What is happening around that child? What are we watching? What music are we playing? Are we listening to the Quran? Are we reading the Quran? And that affects the child. And so this child at the age of 4 or 5 knew 18 juz of the Quran. How? Because of the mother. Because of the blessed mother. That the blessed mother, Ghusay Park said that whilst I was in the womb of my mother, she recited these 18 juz of the Quran and I memorized them. And your children can do this. You do not have to sit down to a child and say one word at a time and read it. If you constantly read something in front of a child, they will pick it up, they will learn it, and they will memorize it. But what do? These are our responsibilities, viewers of the channel, to give that tarbiyah to our children. And the famous tarbiyah that we see from the mother of Ghusay Park, the upbringing that she gave to her child, the piety that she gave to her child, and the famous event that took place when Ghusay Park went to Baghdad and he was attacked by the robbers. When Ghusay Park later in his life, when he was asked later in his life, that how is it possible that you've become so successful? How is it possible that you've got all these students? How is it possible that you've got all these disciples? How is it that you've become so successful? And he says, because my mother taught me. What did my mother teach me? My mother taught me never ever to lie. And because of that is what I am here today. The tarbiyat and the upbringing, the training that the mother gave to the child at a young age. At a young age, he knew 18 juz of the Quran. At a young age, he had these words that were impacted on him. He was given this training to such an extent that when Ghusay Park was robbed and he spoke to the chief of the robbers and he said to the chief of the robbers, when they asked him, why did you not just lie to us? And he said, my mother made me make a promise never ever to lie. And when the words of a wali of Allah, when the words of a friend of Allah speak, it has an impact on people's hearts. I can say to all the people that are watching me, don't lie, don't lie. It probably have no impact on you at all. But when Ghusay Park said this to the robbers, Allahu Akbar, all of them, just them same words, all of them repented. All of them repented, they handed back the stolen goods. They lived a life of piety and they became walis of their time because Ghawse Pak instructed them. And how did Ghawse Pak instruct them? Through the teachings of his mother. So viewers of Mother Channel, keep watching Mother Channel. Download the booklets, the books that are available on www.dawatislami.net. Read about the life of the great personalities of the past. One thing I would request you all to do, time is very, very short. Every Saturday night, there's a Madani Muzakara. And in that Madani Muzakara, immediately student gets the birth of people into the silsila of Ghawse Pak. I would advise you all to put yourself in the hands of Ghawse Pak, attach yourself to the disciples of Ghawse Pak. And Ghawse Pak has said that none of my murids, none of my disciples will die until they have repented from their sins. So every Saturday night on Madani Muzakara, please watch it. Approximately UK time around 9-10 o'clock, Amir al-Sunnat, he does the bad tarqib. He invites people into this tarqib. I advise you all to take advantage of that. Viewers of the channel, you've been watching yesterday, today and tomorrow. And once again, we've run out of time. So until the next time, keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The special favor of Allah, Allah. The universe is the body and its soul.